one. Come all.
Hurry, hurry, here's your chance.
See the mystery and romance.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amelia and I'm 5 years old.
Hi, I'm Zosha and I'm 8 years old.
Hi, everyone. This is Mommy.
What's up, everyone? I'm Daddy.
And you're listening to...
It's Movie Night.
And this week we watched The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, we were requested to cover this movie by a listener. So if you're listening and you'd like us to cover a movie that maybe you liked when you were a kid, or if you're not sure if a movie's age appropriate for your kid now, comment or send us a message on Facebook, YouTube, or TikTok, and we'll find a way to fit it into our lineup.
Walt Disney Studios put out this musical loosely based off a novel in 1996. It is rated G, which to me says someone did not do their job, and has a runtime of 1 hour and 26 minutes. Some other movies Disney released around that time were James and the Giant Peach and First Kid.
Amelia, what would you say this movie's about?
It's about a guy who wishes he can live inside the village with the Nutto people.
Okay, yeah. This movie's about a young man named Quasimodo, a bell ringer kept away from people because his evil master told him for 20 years that he's a monster and nobody will accept him. It's not until he meets a gypsy named Esmeralda that he learns the power of friendship and goes to great lengths to protect her.
Some familiar voices. Esmeralda is voiced by Demi Moore. She hasn't really done anything for kids, but you might recognize her as young Samantha in Now and Then, Madison Lee in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, and she plays Molly Jensen in Ghost.
One of my favorites.
Phoebus is voiced by Kevin Klein. He plays Maurice in the 2017 live-action Beauty and the Beast. He is the voice of Tulio in The Road to El Dorado, which is a movie we all love as well. And he plays Otto in A Fish Called Wanda. Hugo is voiced by Jason Alexander. He is Robert Grant in Dunstan Checks In, Jada's dad in Leo, which we covered not too long ago. And parents, you'll know him better as Mauricio from Shallow Hal and George Costanza in Seinfeld. The guards have a very recognizable voice. It is Jim Cummings. He is Pete in pretty much all things Mickey Mouse. He plays Tigger and Winnie the Pooh, and he just does so many other voices within Disney franchises. One of our personal favorites is Ray from The Princess and the Frog, which was the first episode we ever did. Guys, go back and give it a listen. A couple other voices that we thought were worth mentioning is Frollo is Tony Jay, who is Monsieur d'Arc from the cartoon Beauty and the Beast.
He's the bad guy who says, "I've come to collect your father."
Yeah, he's just really creepy, too. He's just really tall and skinny, and his hair's falling out. He honestly reminds me of the cover of one of the Goosebumps books.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then Quasimodo is played by Tom Hulce, which Daddy and I just saw recently when we watched Parenthood. He plays the youngest brother, Larry Buckman.
Not a kid's movie.
No, but it is a great movie if you're a parent.
And then there are two directors of this movie, Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise. Together, they directed Beauty and the Beast, which we love in this house, and Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Gary also directed The Penguins of Madagascar and then did a few shorts for DreamWorks, the Christmas Caper Shrek the Halls episode and Scared Shrekless. And then Kirk Wise also directed a movie called Bobbleheads the Movie, which I'm not aware that this is a thing.
I have never heard of that.
Yeah.
But all right.
So, Mommy, do you remember what age you were the first time you saw this? Did you see it in theaters? And do you remember liking it?
I don't think I saw it in theaters. My earliest memory of this movie is a VHS at my papa's house in Kentucky where there was no internet, no nothing. It was just find a tape and put it in, and I watched it the most there.
Okay, and did you like it?
I did. I really liked Esmeralda. I liked the characters. I liked that Quasimodo gets friends in the end. It was just a really exciting story. Now that I'm older, kind of wild that I watched this movie as a kid, but I did like it. What about you?
I did not see this in theaters. I did see it when it first came out. So I was probably 6 or 7 when I saw this, and I didn't like it at all. I remember liking some of the music, I guess, but I didn't know what like a gypsy was. Now I'm still kind of confused at what a gypsy is.
So a gypsy is a member of the Romani people who have a traveler's way of life. They work in traveling trades such as fortune telling and seasonal work.
Even after you reading that, I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that means.
It's basically like Renaissance people or like that hippie lifestyle where they kind of like travel in groups and they go around to different places in the United States and they put on these Renaissance fairs depending on seasonal work.
Okay, so a medieval times hippie.
Okay, basically. And hopefully nobody takes offense to that, but I'm just trying to find an analogy.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, at that age, I still had no idea what that meant. But I didn't know what, like, Sanctuary was, which is a big part of this movie. And Frollo, I didn't know what a judge was at 6 or 7 years old. So, I mean, I like this movie, but I didn't like this movie.
There's a lot of content that, yeah, there's absolutely no way you would understand as a child. And for our girls, this is their first time watching this movie ever, and we got a few questions. They were like, yeah, what's Sanctuary? Who's Maria? They didn't understand some of the church content to this movie, which is very important.
Yeah, there's quite a few things that could just go over kids' heads, for sure.
But there are some things that they did understand, like the gargoyles.
Yeah, they were my favorite.
What did you like about them?
They were funny and they were kind.
They did have some funny parts, and I do love that they help Quasi.
My favorite one was Hugo.
What made Hugo the favorite?
I like when he teases the goat.
Yeah, they have a very funny relationship, those two. So, Daddy, what is your take on the gargoyles? Do you think that they are real?
No, I think that they're definitely in Quasimodo's imagination. Like, this is his way of coping with being alone for years, is giving these stone creatures a personality of their own, as well as finding a way to just pass time of just being in this area by himself.
Perfect. That's exactly what my notes were. I feel like it is a natural psychological response to just being alone all the time. Now, does this theory particularly address them helping him at the end of the movie? Not really, but it could be a representation of Quasi's multitasking and strength. Like, he feels like he has these imaginary friends behind him, backing him, and it's just helping him push through this task of saving Notre Dame.
Yeah, I will say that I don't like the gargoyles either. I feel like the movie would have been better without them, that he has this inner strength within him on his own versus needing these gargoyles that talk to guide him. However, I do know that these gargoyles are the things that are helping a younger community and a younger audience connect to this movie.
Yes, and it's also just more realistic, because without the gargoyles, Quasi would be so depressing. Like, he would be utterly alone in every scene in the church outside of when Frollo comes to visit him. In that would just be way too tragic. Plus, I feel like it's unrealistic to be alone for 20 years and not have at least one imaginary friend. But that's just my opinion.
So like we had mentioned, there's quite a few things in this movie that just go over kids' heads. One of them is the ending, and Amelia had questions in regards to where they're bringing Quasimodo, because it ends, it's a happy ending, it's a Disney movie, and they lift Quasimodo onto their shoulders, and they just leave this town square area that's in front of the cathedral. And Amelia turned to me, and she goes, "Where are they bringing him?" She was sad. She cried. And I'm not exactly sure what she thought was happening. Amelia, what do you think was happening with Quasimodo?
I don't know where they were bringing him.
Yeah, and I just explained to Amelia that, you know, they won, so they're just going to celebrate. They're carrying him on his back because they just want to make him proud. They want to build him up.
I took it as like a celebratory parade. Like, hey, we just saved our city and took it back. Let's go march through the streets now.
Yeah, so this is just one of those things that kids don't understand.
Which I can understand, because earlier in the movie, they do pick Quasimodo up and carry him, but it's in a much more negative fashion. So yeah. I get it.
And speaking of scenes, let's talk about some favorite scenes in this movie. To piggyback off the scene that you just said where they carry Quasimodo, it's a sad scene. Esmeralda standing up against Frollo to come to Quasimodo's aid, super cool.
Oh, absolutely. The townspeople are throwing things at Quasimodo, and it is just so sad and heartbreaking to watch that they turn on him. They ask for the King of Fools, who is supposed to be the most grotesque looking person there, and well, they find it. It's mean to say, but they do find it, and then they turn on him instantly for it. It's like, listen, this is what you asked for. They all assumed he was wearing a mask, but he wasn't, and just like Frollo had said, a lot of people turn on Quasimodo, except for Esmeralda.
Even after Frollo says, leave him there, because he's trying to teach Quasimodo a lesson, because he knows that he left the bell tower.
Get down at once!
Yes, Your Honor. Just as soon as I free this poor creature.
I forbid it! How dare you defy me!
You mistreat this poor boy the same way you mistreat my people. You speak of justice, yet you are cruel to those most in need of your help.
Silence!
Justice!
And it's just super cool because he is completely dumbfounded by the fact that she did this in front of all these people.
Yeah, and especially this time period, like how dare a woman of your stature talk to me in that manner?
Yeah,
like,
very true.
Go Esmeralda.
Another small scene that I really like is when Phoebus enters the cathedral to talk to Esmeralda and convince her, like, hey, you got to stay here because this is sanctuary. They can't get you in here. And I really like the sound in the scene because when they're talking, you could hear the echoes through the cathedral.
Yes, it's super realistic because, I mean, think about any time you've been in a church, you echo.
I'm waiting, Captain.
I'm sorry, sir. She claimed sanctuary. There's nothing I can do.
Then drag her outside and...
Oh, no. You will not touch her.
Right after the scene, I love when Esmeralda sees where Quasimodo lives. And she's like, you have all of this to yourself? And she sees the village that he made and where he sleeps. And she says it in a way that sounds like she's jealous. Like, you have this awesome place all to yourself. And I like this. I like that in our eyes and how Quasimodo feels trapped and he doesn't like being here. It takes a positive spin on it that some people, even though you're miserable, other people might look at your situation as, oh, you're lucky. So there's always like two views to every story. There's always two sides, two opinions. You know, it's all about how you look at it. And I liked that. I think that made Quasimodo feel good that this beautiful woman is coming here and saying, wow, this is awesome. I love where you live.
Yeah, it kind of goes off of that the grass is greener metaphor. Like, maybe it's not greener on the other side. Maybe I got a pretty good thing here.
Yeah, like Esmeralda does live outside Notre Dame, but it seems like she is constantly on the run. Whereas, yes, Quasimodo is trapped in one place, but he's safe.
And then the last scene I'd like to mention is where Frollo comes to eat with Quasimodo, but it's after Quasimodo takes in Phoebus to like hide him.
Because Frollo thinks that he's eliminated Phoebus at this point.
Yeah, so Quasi hides him under his table, and then Frollo comes in to have dinner, and they eat on the table that he's under, and it is just such a tense scene. It's really, really good.
Which still blows my mind. Like, how did Frollo not read the energy that Quasi had? Like, he was so nervous and like not himself.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to rip apart the room to try to find somebody that he thinks is gone anyway. Yeah. So I get it. So let's talk some positives of this movie now.
Yes, there are some great messages. The old don't judge a book by its cover. No matter what Quasimodo looks like, it has nothing to do with his character. He is kind-hearted. He wants to be helpful. He wants to belong. He wants to be one of the townspeople. It doesn't matter what he looks like. It should matter what's in his heart.
And that's how everyone should live their lives.
Yes, don't be vain.
Standing up for what is right. Phoebus is a captain in this crusade, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it exactly. But
yeah, he appears as like a high-up soldier.
Yeah, and he's there to work for Frollo. And Frollo tells him, like, hey, my last guy didn't work out, so why don't you just follow orders? And he's like, okay, you know, how bad is this guy? He doesn't know Frollo.
Yeah, how hard could it be?
So then he develops and makes his own mind up of, like, this Frollo dude is not cool at all. He's a bad dude.
He is. So there's almost like a double message here because you have Phoebus also being don't judge a book by its cover because he appears as a soldier that follows orders and does a great job. But in the end, he ends up standing with justice and empathy overall, which is another huge theme in this movie. Stand up for what's right.
I like that Esmeralda is a strong woman.
She is a strong woman. This is an awesome positive of this movie is that no matter what is going on, Esmeralda is going to fight for what's right. Like I had said earlier, she stands up to Frollo in front of all of these people, and it's a great scene.
Yeah, she doesn't like bullies, neither do I.
And that's another thing that makes you just so sweet, Zosia. Zosia's all about being kind and standing up for people.
Now let's talk about one of the biggest positives of this movie, the music.
Oh, right off the bat, man, those bells and the choir, it's just so intense. And I heard some Prince of Egypt vibes in there, which we just covered for Easter. And that makes so much sense because guess who wrote the lyrics to this movie? Stephen Schwartz, who also wrote the lyrics to The Prince of Egypt.
Yep, he did.
The music is, like I said, just so powerful. And I didn't realize that they use three of the songs from this movie from a show called Harmonious. It was a nighttime show that they did in Epcot that our family loved. They worked so hard to put all these things in the barge in Epcot to do this show. And it seems like they took it away in less than a year.
Yeah, it was just for the 50th.
It was heartbreaking because this show was so good. And I didn't even realize that so much of the music came from this movie.
Yeah, because we haven't seen this movie in I don't even know how long.
Yeah, I was under the age of 10 for sure.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the bangers. So the first one is The Bells of Notre Dame. This is like Welcome to Rosas from the movie Wish that we had talked about a few episodes ago. And this is great because it has a purpose. It's telling a story and it just flows and it's informative.
Judge Claude Frollo longed to purge the world of vice and sin. And he saw corruption everywhere except within.
Bring these gypsy vermin to the Palace of Justice.
And you're getting this backstory of Frollo and Quasimodo and how he got the name Quasimodo, and it's like half-formed is what it means, and just it just shows right off the bat how bad of a dude Frollo is.
Yep, and it puts us up to speed, like, all right, flash forward 20 years, this is where we are now.
Yep, and the next song is Out There, and this is kind of a split song, where the beginning of it is Frollo kind of singing.
Yeah, he's basically saying how terrible it would be if he left here. If you leave here, you're going to find out how terrible people are. They're going to call you a monster. They're going to make fun of you. They will never accept you. It's just quite a downer at the beginning.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Tangled, like Mother Knows Best, like stay in your tower, Rapunzel.
Yes, but much more brutal.
The world is cruel. The world is wicked. It's I alone whom you can trust in this whole city. I am your only friend.
But then it transitions into Quasimodo singing that out there would be best. I want to go out there. And this song made me cry when he's singing it because he just got through this entire thing of being berated by Frollo of how bad he looks and how bad his image is. And so when he's singing about how he wants to be anywhere else, it made me cry. Just a great song.
All my life I memorized their faces. Knowing them as they will never know me. All my life I wonder how it feels to pass a day not above them, but part of them.
It just goes to show that no matter how terrible Frollo is, he still isn't crushing Quasi's spirit. And that's a wonderful thing. That shows how strong Quasi is too. Even though he is afraid to leave, he's not afraid to dream and know that he wants to do it.
The next song is Topsy Turvy, and it's just a fun song, nothing crazy good about it.
Everything is topsy turvy at the Feast of
Dooms. Everything is upsy daisy. Everyone is acting crazy.
No, the only memory I really have of this song is the fact that I choreographed a dance for it for my sixth grade choir show, which was all about Disney, and yeah, I was one of the fools. That's about it. But I really like the next song, God Help the Outcast. This is when Esmeralda has already claimed sanctuary and she's walking around the church and she is just begging God to help the gypsies. Like they are just being persecuted like no other. And I like this part so much because the townspeople are asking for fame. They're asking for riches. They're praying for all of these selfish things. Whereas Esmeralda is simply asking for nothing but God's help. Because if he doesn't help the outcasts, then no one will.
Less lucky than I. Please help my people, the poor and downtrodden.
And I think this shows another good message of the movie, which is selflessness. Esmeralda is a completely selfless person.
The next song was actually going to be cut from the movie because producers and the executives thought that this was too heavy of a topic. And it's Heaven's Light / Hellfire is a song. This is a banger of a song. It's pretty good, but the content of it is that Frollo lusts for Esmeralda, and Frollo blames Satan for the fact that he can't get over this temptation for Esmeralda.
It's a very bipolar song for Frollo because he's like, I need to do this, but I can't. And it's like, he's trying to make sympathy for himself because as an audience, all of us are like, nah, this guy ain't it. But like,
he's
trying to justify his cause through, oh, Satan's making me do this, or this is God's purpose. And it's like, no, they ain't no justifying this, Frollo.
Definitely not.
It's not my fault. I'm not to blame. It is the gypsy girl, the witch who set this flame. It's not my fault. If in God's plan, he made the devil so much stronger than a man.
And then the last two songs that I didn't really care for, A Guy Like You, which is what the gargoyles sing, and then the song from the tunnel is Court of Miracles. Didn't really care for them.
I didn't like Court of Miracles because I feel like it painted the gypsies in a negative light. Like, we're sitting here trying to root for them and be like, yes, they're being so wrongly treated. But then they turn around and they're like, welcome to our hideout where we basically hang anybody who finds us. And I'm like, ooh, that's not a good look.
Yeah, very much so.
Was there anything particular you didn't like about the gargoyle song?
I just don't like the gargoyles in general.
Oh, okay,
I wish the movie would have cut them out, but I understand that, like I had said, you know, this is what the kids are going to grasp onto.
Yes, you need something lighthearted, all right? And the gargoyles bring the lightheartedness.
So I'm going to say something. I apologize to our friend Adam in our Prince of Egypt episode, and I'm going to say something that he might not like as well right now, and it's that the music in this movie is better than the Prince of Egypt. I prefer this music way much more than Prince of Egypt. I don't know how you feel about it, but it just goes harder.
I can agree with that. Overall, yes, I will sing more of the Hunchback songs. However, there's two songs in The Prince of Egypt that just, oh, they're bangers. They are bangers, but you're right. This one has more pull.
It could just be that we're Disney people as well, though. We've seen these in fireworks shows, and it's just, we have a deeper connection with the Disney songs.
That's valid. That's valid.
If you've seen both these movies, let us know. Which one has better music in your opinion? The Prince of Egypt or The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
What are you pressing play on?
And then some negatives. Let's talk about Disney villains. Who is your favorite Disney villain? Sosha, start us off.
Magnifico.
Magnifico. Very good pick. I love it. Amelia?
I like Magnifico too.
He's got a banger villain song.
He really does. How about you, Mommy? Who's your favorite Disney villain?
I personally love Hades. I'm all about the sarcasm and just like the one-liners he throws out there.
I agree. I'm on the Hades boat as well.
Oh, so we're two against two.
Yes. Now let's talk about the worst Disney villain. Zosha, who's the worst?
Frollo.
Frollo? Amelia, who do you think?
Jafar.
Jafar? Okay, he's a bad dude. Mommy?
Frollo.
Yes, I'm on this boat as well. Frollo is the worst Disney villain. And I wouldn't have known it because I wouldn't have rewatched this movie if our listener didn't request us to watch this movie.
Yes, and don't get us wrong. We don't mean he's the worst villain as in, oh, he's not a good villain. No, no, no. We mean he's the worst villain as in he is brutal. Like, this guy is a legit villain. He makes all the other villains look like, psh, what are you doing, stealing candy from a candy store? Like, this guy's bad.
Yeah, unlike most Disney villains, they usually get joy out of doing bad things. And it seems like Frollo just lives his life and he's fine with it because he believes it's God's will. And he's doing right by everyone by making the choices he does. So this is just him.
Yes, like he in his mind, in Frollo's right mind, he thinks that he is doing the right things. Like, he justifies everything. He thinks that he is a pure man of God and that this is what he was sent here to do. And anything that gets in the way, I'm just going to do it. It's no big deal. We got to take out a few gypsies. All right, that's fine. No.
Yes, and this is in the negatives because he really is a good villain. He's a good villain. He's good to watch because you're learning the wrong things to do through him, but it's a negative because of the things he does. And you'll get to more of that in parental guidance, but oh my gosh, like you said, this guy is just brutal.
It's a negative in the aspect that this is a kids movie, and for kids, the main plot is fairly hard to grasp. They need to understand that lust is what motivates Frollo. Kids don't know what lust is. And then during Hellfire, he actually says something like, Esmeralda's going to be mine or she's going to perish.
But she will be mine or she will.
Yeah, some kids just aren't going to understand what he's talking about at all.
Yes, and it's some wildly manipulative content for kids, but they'll mostly just chalk it up as Frollo being a really bad guy.
And I guess we'll just talk a little bit right here about the violence of the movie instead of talking about it in parental guidance. The violence is harsh in this movie.
Yeah, like, I know they're just trying to make a point, but it is so hard to watch when they tie down Quasimodo and throw food at him. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Frollo with the persecution of the gypsies, like, that gives them World War II vibes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, right off the bat in the Bells of Notre Dame, we find out that Frollo is the one who ultimately makes the last call on Quasi's mother's life. It's just crazy that this dude is the one who just, he's the judge. He makes the call.
Yeah, which goes to show what kind of horrible rule that Paris is under at this time.
Yeah.
And not only that, it doesn't end with Quasi's mother. He's about to throw Quasimodo down a well like it's nothing. Like, he thinks he's doing the world a favor because he calls Quasimodo, oh, you're a demon. I need to cleanse the world of you.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then the priest runs out like, what are you doing? You are on the steps of Notre Dame, a prestigious church. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, dude, it's just... it's so violent. It's a super violent movie.
And then we found that a lot of people have issues with the continuity of this movie. There was some wild trivia we came across, like people having issues that there were tomatoes in this movie because at this point of time, they were not native to this European region. And also that, oh, the way the cathedral is depicted, those things actually weren't placed on the cathedral until however many years later. This is a cartoon. Calm down.
Yeah. At least they didn't have the Eiffel Tower standing during this time because it wasn't there yet.
No, and I actually told Daddy about this. I laughed to myself because we started watching the movie, and when he's looking out at his view of Paris, I'm like, where's the Eiffel Tower? And then I went, you're so silly. This was way before that.
Yep.
For me, the only continuity issue I found, it is literally, what, 2-3 minutes of this movie? It's at the very end when they defeat Frollo. Everything's back to normal. They're about to walk off into the city to celebrate, but... where did everything go? Paris was literally just on fire. They were throwing things at the guards. They were smashing the doors in of the cathedral. Like, it was just in a state of ruin all in this town square. And then the shot shows them walking off and everything's back to normal. Like, it's sunny. The streets are clean. Like, what happened? Where's the remains of this fight? It should not look like this. But again, it's a cartoon. I know.
Yeah, it's definitely a nitpick of yours. So what kind of negatives or positives come with parental guidance, Mommy?
So we did cover a lot of it, but language, pretty mild. There's words like hellfire and damnation since it's centered around church culture, but that's the worst of it. And then gypsy is also considered a racial slur. Violence, we've already mentioned a bunch of it, but there is also talk of hanging. We hear screaming and whipping in a dungeon. Frollo lights a house on fire, and then there's just general sword and arrow fighting everywhere. Girls, was there anything scary about The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
No. At the beginning, I was actually thinking he was actually going to put the baby inside the wishing well.
And that is scary because who throws a baby away? Like, oof.
Evil people.
Evil people. Something that I thought was scary and that I think little kids might find scary are Frollo's eyes at the end. Like when he's trying to come at Quasimodo and Esmeralda at the end and his eyes turn like this orangey red, like smoky color, like he just looks wild and crazy, and I don't want to see that in my dreams. Grown-up stuff, we already covered Frollo's lusting for Esmeralda, but some people might find an issue with Esmeralda herself. She is a bit scandalous, but I think it's in a very innocent way. Sure, she dances, she pulls scars from her cleavage, but I feel like it's all in a free spirit way, if that makes sense. It's not promiscuous. And then one of the gargoyles flirts with a goat, and then both of those characters are seen with a cigar or pipe. Frollo also drinks wine when he comes to dine with Quasimodo, and many people appear intoxicated at the Feast of Fools. Lastly, cry factor. Yeah, Quasimodo's life is just so sad.
Like I had said, I cried at the moment that Quasimodo was singing out there. It's just a very sad moment. Amelia did cry at the end of this movie when they were carrying away Quasimodo. It is a good scene, so maybe they could have been happy tears mixed with a little bit of what's going on right now.
I had tears in my eyes when they were throwing things at him. He had finally had the courage to leave this cathedral, and he's just, everything Frollo said is happening to him, and it broke my heart.
Yeah, that is a very sad scene. And then as for an age recommendation, you know your kids better than we do. We're just here to give our opinions. This movie is better than I remembered. However, there is no denying that it is not made for kids. I mean, it is, but they aren't going to understand all the elements presented. The talking gargoyles are something that younger ages might like, but even the songs are kind of for older ages. So for my age recommendation, I'm going to say 10 and up to be safe.
They have a much better chance at understanding the messages that this movie is trying to convey.
Absolutely. So Rotten Tomato critics have this movie at a 71%, which is a thumbs middle. Audiences have it at a 70%, which is also a thumbs middle. Let's see how it holds up in our house. Zosha, do you give The Hunchback of Notre Dame a thumbs up, a thumbs middle, or a thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down? Why a thumbs down?
I don't like that it was too violent and it was a little long.
Okay, I got what you're saying. Amelia?
I'll give it a thumbs middle since it was like too mean and stuff, but it's like okay, but not really okay.
Okay, I got you.
Mommy? It is a mean movie.
Mommy?
I am going to go thumbs middle as well. I absolutely love the music in this movie. I do like the messages that they're trying to convey, but for a kid's movie, it's not going to have that rewatchability that other movies have. What about you, Daddy?
I'm going thumbs up. I thought this movie was fantastic. If they took out the gargoyles, I would give it 2 thumbs up, but this is a thumbs up movie for me. I thought it was wonderful. I'm so glad that I rewatched this movie. And I hope that when these girls get older and they watch it again, that they appreciate it as much as we did.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful messages. But stop trying to take away Quasimodo's friends, all right? Let him have his gargoyles.
I don't like them.
Well, your opinion is mean.
Maybe. And if any of you would like to add The Hunchback of Notre Dame to your movie night list, it is currently streaming on Disney Plus or available across platforms.
And after watching, let us know if you give it thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
And when you want to let us know what you think about the movie, please find us on social media. We like to post pictures of us on our movie nights, letting you know what snacks and sweets we're eating. We post a dad joke as well as a sneak peek clip theme to the episode coming out that week. It's a fun place to hang out.
Our Facebook is It's Movie Night, and our Instagram is It's Movie Night Pod. Thank you for listening.
Join us next week for another movie night.